Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, February the 10th, 1985. I want to dedicate this service today to my mom, who is 80 years old today. Her choir has been practicing a song for the last two or three weeks that says, "We'll soon be done with troubles and trials." Down here we have our ups and downs, we have our valleys as well as our mountaintops. But I tell you, someday we'll soon be done. It's not as long as it has been until we're all going to be with the Lord, all of us who know Him. So Brother Tom comes to lead the choir as Debbie plays the piano for us in the choir. Come back today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I trust every person here is ready to go to be with the Lord. Brother Ed Platt, one of our deacons, is going to come at this time to read our scripture taken from the 15th chapter of Luke. While he's coming up, I'd like to mention that a few prayer requests. As most of you all know, Myrna will be going in the hospital Tuesday. Central Baptist Hospital in Lexington, and we'll be having surgery Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We took her down this past Thursday, and the doctor did a test and said to call him back Friday at 2 o'clock to see whether it was cancer or not. And he called us at 1:30 Friday and said the test came out all right. We praise God for that. I felt like jumping to the ceiling. That's the answer to prayer. And so trust you be praying for us as we go down Tuesday, and hopefully be back Thursday. I will, and Myrna will be in the hospital about a week. We also want to pray for Gay Couch. These four names I meant to put in the bulletin this week and failed to. So Gay Couch, I don't know what her needs are. I don't know if she's in the hospital or what, but let's be praying for her, and also Melvin Pollard and Barry Conley and Green Farler. And also we want to remember Roger and Pam's little boy. He's in the Humana Hospital in Lexington, and we should be praying for him. Also, continue to pray for Martha's mother, Kathleen. We know God's certainly able to bless her and supply her need. We're glad Ms. Burns is home and done better, right, Brother Burns? Be praying for Jonathan Hunchell, Mrs. Campbell, Anna Campbell, and she's still in North Carolina, as well as all these other requests here listed in the bulletin. We know that God is the answer, and He has an answer to all of our needs. The last name we have here in the bulletin, Theodore Davidson, I went to see him this past week, and he's done a lot better. He's going through a trying time in his life and family, and we should be praying for him. He's a pastor, I believe, at the Trinity Church of God.
That was Luke 15, starting with verse 11 through 20. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us this morning, the lesson we had in Sunday school about the Great Shepherd, this lesson we have here about the Wonderful Father. Today, Father, we want to pray for those who are in our bulletin, those who are on our hearts, those who will have surgery, those who are taking treatments for cancer, those, Father, that are in the hospitals for the various reasons, those who are at home, Father, that are recuperating from illness and that are ill. We pray, Father, that you would speak to each of these that is on our list this morning, and that you would look into their situation, and if they would look to you for guidance, we pray that you would heal them, Father, of whatever their affliction. This morning, Father, we pray that we each one here in this church today would look at our lives and examine ourselves, see if we have our eye on the great shepherd, that we, Father, are covered by the love of our Father. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Help us to look to you for the guidance that we so badly need as Christians in this world. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to be witness wherever we are. These things, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymn, let's turn in our hymn book to page 252, and let's stand and as we sing our last hymnal, first, second, and fourth stanzas, He Hideth My Soul.
In prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, this one is here today. Father, go into our pastor and bring forth from it. Father, let's over each one of the sick today. May your hand guide them. Father, bless each one. They give this way for their life. Thank you for our life. In Christ's name.
Thank you, Jerry. gave us something worth living for. I tell you, the Lord has given each one of us something worth living for, someone worth living for. And that is the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to speak on the most familiar of the parables, I guess, or one of the most familiar, and that is the parable of the prodigal son. As we speak on the blessings of home, this son thought of leaving and going into a foreign country would be really living, but he found out different. In fact, in chapter 15, we have three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In all three instances, they were found, and there was rejoicing. In fact, verse 10 here of Luke 15 says, "Likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth." And who is in the presence of the angels except our loved ones who have gone on before us? There is joy in heaven. Verse 7 says, "There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which needeth no repentance." The Lord cares about you today in your situation. There are a lot worse places today than in the center of God's will. A Christian can be out of God's will. And we know a person who never has trusted the Lord is certainly out of God's will. The first step in being in God's will is to know Him as your own personal Savior and Lord, your own personal shepherd. Every one of us needs a shepherd. And I did have a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning on the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. There are a lot worse places than in the center of God's will. Walking with Him in sweet fellowship. And following wherever the Holy Spirit would lead us. Our key verse is going to be found in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 7. And the last part of verse 3. I'll mention this before we read the last few words of that verse, 2 Kings 7 and verse 3. This is a wonderful passage in the Old Testament. It's in a time of famine and deep distress for the children of Israel. There are four leprous men. They're on the border of starvation. The food has run out, as it did for the prodigal son here in Luke 15. Back there in 2 Kings 7 and verse 3, the last part, those four men were, as it were, caught between a rock and a hard place. And they said this, "Why sit we here until we die?" This prodigal son could have died in the hog pen. But my friend, he came out. He came home. Those four leprous men could have died of starvation. Instead, they went into the city, and God made their footsteps like a great army. And the enemy fled with food on the table. And they went into that city and ate. And finally, they thought to themselves, "We don't do well. Let's tell somebody else where the food is." There was a famine in the land. And so they spread the word, and other people came to eat. Why sit we here until we die? My friend, my prayer is that you will not sit until you die without putting your faith and trust in the Lord. And if you're here as a Christian, my prayer for you today is that you will not be living out of God's will for your life. That you'll be in the center of God's will. That's the only place for real contentment in the Christian life, is to know that you're here in this world and you're where the Lord wants you to be. You can't beat it. Paul said, I have found in whatsoever state I am in this to be content. And Paul was a contented man because he had his eyes in the right direction. You and I today need to have our eyes in the right direction. I want to dedicate this service today to my mom. She is 80 years old today. And the Lord has left her here going on almost 15 years after my dad passed away. I want to dedicate the service today to her. And these four who came up to put their money in a while ago for their birthday, I want to dedicate it to you too. God bless us as we continue to fellowship here in this service. Let's don't be out of fellowship with each other, or don't be out of fellowship with God. We can lose our fellowship with each other and with God. But thank God we can't lose our relationship. We're still brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Lord does not have half brothers and half sisters. If you know the Lord today, you're my brother or sister. My whole brother or whole sister. If you know the Lord today and He's your Savior, we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There are many people today that are hanging on the brink of eternity. One heartbeat away from hell. My prayer is that this service today will be a turning point in your life. There was a country lad, a boy who was leaving his Sunday school and friends to go to work in the city. And he was told by a Christian gentleman, my boy, remember that you're going to launch your craft on a dangerous ocean. And the boy said, I know it. And he held up his Bible. And he said this, but I have a safe compass to steer by. My friend, this book will steer you in the right direction as we look into it. The blessings of home. I would advise you today not to leave the father's house as this prodigal son did. First of all, let's look at the son's decision. He came to his dad and said, Father, give me. Give me. If you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which I have, Myrna got me one 4 years ago, which I preach out of every Sunday. In the back of that, of this Bible, it has an outline of the prodigal son. He made 7 steps according to the outline back here in the back of my Bible. He made 7 steps down, but he made 7 steps up, back home. And I just want to read those and get on into the message here. Self-will, give me. Selfishness, separation, sensuality, spiritual destitution, self-abasement. He was down as low as he could get on the ladder. He was feeding the swine and starvation. He spent all. Realization, resolution, repentance, return, reconciliation with his dad, reclothing and rejoicing. My friend, it's not where you are now that matters so much. It is where you're going to be when you have to meet God. And the thing about it is, we don't know when we're going to have to meet God. It may be today. It may be this week. There was a fellow who said, who dreamed a dream, he had 7 days to live. That's all. And so he started living the way the Lord would have him to live. 7 days went by and he kept on living. But you know, he loved living like he had been the last 7 days. That he kept on living that way, right on and on and on. Because he said this, some 7 day period is going to be my last. The son's decision, he said, Father, give me. The dad did not decide, son, you're going to leave home. The son decided that, right? He said, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. The son made this decision. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. I want us to notice the word all. He gathered all together. Selfishness. This is mine. And I'm going to spend it the way I want to spend it. He gathered all together and took his journey into a foreign country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. Did you know, friend, you can be in a far country and be in Airport Gardens, Perry County, Hazard, Kentucky. You can be in a far country. In fact, I want to go so far as to say this. You can be in a far country and be in your own home. Simon Peter followed afar off during the trial of Jesus. I'm saying this, friends, don't live in a far country, away from God, away out of fellowship with the Lord. The younger son was content to go into a far country. No one knew him. He could live the way he wanted to live. He could go to the places where he wanted to go. And it didn't take long for all of his money to be gone. Be gone. The son said, give me. He was going to learn a hard lesson. And I want to say this, friends. It's a hard lesson to get in a foreign country, out of fellowship with the Lord. The son got in trouble. Verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. For the first time in this boy's life, he needed something. He needed help. This was a new feeling for this fella. He was having a time keeping body and soul together. He began to be in want. The father is all the time back home. Did you know what? When you and I are out of fellowship with God, our Father, God is still up there. He's still looking over us. He still loves us. In fact, he still loves people who don't love him. The rich young ruler came to Jesus running one day, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him some of the Ten Commandments. And he said, I've kept every one of those from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus touched a sore spot in his life. He said, go sell what you got and give it away and come take up your cross and follow me. He went away grieved because he had great possessions. This prodigal son was at the bottom of the ladder. Starvation was staring him in the face. One of the verses in our Sunday school lesson says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. How's your pasture today? I'm talking today about your spiritual pasture. We're going to be preaching tonight on Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The prodigal son came to the end of his resources. There was a lady one time standing on the bank of a river, and her son was out there in the river, drowning. And she said to a young, robust fellow, "I want you to save my son." This fellow went down for the third time. And the fellow jumped in and rescued this boy. And the mother wanted to know, "Why in the world didn't you jump in when I told you to?" She said, This fellow said to the mom, "I wanted your son to come to the end of his strength, because he could have drowned both of them." My friends, before you and I many times will reach out a shaking hand to God, we have to get down to the lowest point and spend all. The son got in trouble. He gathered all together, and here he spends all. This reminds me of a lady who wormed her way through a crowd one day to Jesus. She had spent all that she had and was getting worse and worse. And she said, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." We have to come to the end of our resources many times. And we need to call upon God, the one who can save us, give us eternal life. This fellow had only one thing to do, and that was to get a job. When he was at home, he probably didn't have a job. But look what he does. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. He got one of the lowest jobs that a Jew could get. Feeding pigs. It says here in the last part of verse 16, "And no man gave unto him." You know what? Today, man did not have the answer to this young boy's problem. No man gave unto him. Only God can satisfy the soul of man. Only God. The son realized something. We sang a song before Sunday school this morning. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, "Come home." As I've said many times here, the only help for homesickness is to come home. I've been homesick 300 miles away from home, and no way to get home. I just had to tough it out. Many a Sunday afternoon, I've walked down through the campus, and I wondered what my dad and mom were doing. But I couldn't come home. But my friend, spiritually speaking today, the only thing that you and I need to do, if we are away from home, away from fellowship with God, come home. David had to say in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't say, "Restore unto me thy salvation." He lost his fellowship. He hadn't lost his relationship to God. He was still God's child. Here the Son comes to himself. I believe right here is the turning point in this parable. When he came to himself, he said, I believe this, before the Lord can help us, we must realize that we need help. This young son took a look at himself. Have you ever looked at yourself? Have you ever talked to yourself? This fellow came to himself, and he talked to himself. He said, I know what I'm going to do. He first of all said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. Notice, he said, I will arise and go to my father. I don't know how long he had been gone from home. Jesus probably knew a young boy who had done this very thing as he told this parable. Jesus says in the parable, the young son says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned. Did you know what? That's the three hardest words to say, I believe, in the English language. I'm sorry. I have sinned. But the young son, he makes up what he's going to say when he gets home. He says, I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me. In verse 12, he says, Father, give me. Down in verse 19, he says, Father, make me as one of thy hard servants. He realized he was in the wrong place. We had a verse a few Sundays ago in Sunday school that says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:35, Jesus said that, I am the bread of life. You know, this fellow could have said, I will arise, I'm going to arise and go to my father. He could have said that and said that until he died of starvation. Look what verse 20 says. And he arose. Verse 18, it says, I will arise. Verse 20, it says, and he arose. And came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. I believe here we see some blessings of home. This coming Thursday is Valentine's Day. I spoke at Oneida Baptist Institute one February the 14th, a few years ago. And you know what I spoke on to those students? Four-letter word, L-O-V-E. My friend, the Lord loves you. And I love you. This dad must have come out many a day and looked down the road to see if his son was coming home. But this particular day, he looked out and lo and behold, there comes someone down the road. He's stumbling along. The father sees him. He saw him coming a great way off, it says. His father saw him and had compassion and ran Do you know this? I believe with all my heart today that the Lord is just itching. He's just longing for us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him more than we want to come to Him. Right here, I believe we have some blessings. And one of these is love. Did you know what? If there is not love in our home is a house. Four walls don't make a home. It takes a roof. And I'd like to compare the roof of a home to love. If there's not love, there's bound to be a heart full of love in this dad that will cause him to run and fall on the neck of his son, who's been gone many days probably, and to kiss him. He might have still smelled of the hog pen. That didn't matter to this dad. We see understanding here too, I believe. And we see forgiveness. And we see compassion. This son says, "Father, I have sinned." And that's about as far as he got. The father said, but the father said to his servants, "Bring forth." He didn't say bring forth that old moth-eaten garment in there that we've been laying off to throw away. No. He said bring forth the best. Bring forth the best. I've got written here in the bulletin for today, if we give God the best that we have, He will give us the best that He has. I believe that with all my heart. We cannot outgive God. Because as the old farmer said, God's got a bigger shovel than we have. You can't outgive God. This dad said, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, for this my son was dead and is alive again." He was lost. And his family. And they began to be merry. I tell you, they had something to cheer about. A son had come home. My prayer for you as we look into our song books at this time for our invitation hymn, page 218. I believe the author of the person who wrote the words of this song, "I Will Arise and Go to Jesus," must have gotten inspired from Luke 15 where the son says, "I will arise and go to my Father." 218 as we stand to sing. God bless you to make a decision for the Lord today. Amen.